Hello and welcome to our second program in the book of Daniel. We're going to be looking at Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. The Bible says these four stood true in a day when it was very difficult to do that, and they were teenagers. To be looking at these four teenagers who gave their lives to the Lord and lived it in a sincere manner. They were under tremendous pressure to give up what they believed. We talked in our last program about faith. It really talks about what we really believe. And Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel, they just decided to keep trusting the Lord.
I just keep trusting my Lord as I walk along. I just keep trusting my Lord, and He gives a song. Though the storm clouds darken the sky, or the heavenly trail, I just keep trusting my Lord. He will never fail. He's a faithful friend. Such a faithful friend, I can count on Him to the very end. Though the storm clouds darken the sky or the heavenly trail, I just keep trusting my Lord, He will never.
I think it's possible for us to even begin to imagine the amount of pressure that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were under when they were carried off into Babylon. Here they were with their by themselves. Their parents weren't there anymore. They're on their own. Very, very intimidating. And they would be under tremendous pressure. And they were, as we read here in our last broadcast, pressured to give up what they believed. Now, the king had this plan, a three-year plan, and he wanted to change their beliefs, and he wanted to get them acting like the Babylonians act. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel, they determined they weren't going to do that. And it seems like Daniel was the spearhead in this. It says here in verse number 8 that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And he had three friends that said, "We're with you on this, Daniel." Now, they wanted to pressure them into giving up what they believed. Now, belief is an acceptance that a statement is true. So, example, they believed what Jeremiah was preaching was true. They believed it. Now, of course, God would direct them to believe it, and he would direct anybody and everybody to believe it, but most of the people didn't, and that's why they're here in bondage in Babylon. They wouldn't believe what the preacher from God was saying. Well, these four young people, along with a bunch of others, were pressured to give up their Jewish identity. They were pressured to give up their faith, but they were faithful. They stood true for 70 years. Now, faithfulness always equals exaltation. They were exalted to a special position as a result of being faithful. Now, that exaltation might be on earth, or it might be in heaven. They might, either way, when the three men went in the fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, our God can deliver us from you. We won't burn, but if he doesn't deliver us, we're still going to be delivered from you. Well, God delivered them in an earthly way, and they were exalted in their position on earth. But they understood, hey, if we leave this world, Paul said, to die is far better. We get so hooked on hanging on to the things of this world. Either way, to be faithful, you'll be exalted. Well, not only did they have the pressure from outside, but they had peer pressure. Now, our peers are a group of people who have similar interests that we do. Peer pressure is influence from members of our group. It's harder to deal with the peer pressure than it is to deal with pressure from outside. We are pressured. It's a weakness for those of us who call ourselves preachers. We have this peer pressure. What our peers think? Well, other preachers think. Some years ago, we were having a very important meeting. There was about 12 of us pastors in the meeting, and they wanted to do something in a group that I thought was against the scriptures. And I said, no, this is wrong. Well, that turned into quite a battle, and of all the whole group in there, I was the only one just, no, I said, this is wrong, and we're not going to do this. And so the battle went on for a while. And, you know, if you back up what you're going to say with Scripture, this is a good idea. You know, the Bible says over and over again that the disciples reason among themselves. And Jesus said, why reason ye among yourselves? I'm right here. I know everything there is to know. Why don't you check with me? And we get into these situations. Don't reason among yourself. Look at the Bible and see what the Bible says. And we did that, and finally, before we were done, the whole group had changed to do what the Bible says. Now, I'm not looking for any credit there. I think that we just should stand and do what is right, regardless of the peer pressure. Well, we got out in the hall, and one of the men came to me and put his arm around me and kind of whispered, said, Brother Kirkland, I was real proud of you in there. I said, well, if you're real proud of me in there, where were you when we were in there? Why are you out here whispering in the hall? We need to stand and do what is right. Well, that's harder. Peer pressure is more difficult than pressure from outside. The pastor is concerned about the peer pressure. What will my people think if I preach this message? Forget it. Preach it. We're supposed to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, with all long-suffering. And you know what? You'll be a small church getting smaller if you do that in this day and age in which we're living. But we get our selective messages, and we preach just what we want to preach because of the peer pressure. Oh, I won't have a crowd. I can tell you how to get a crowd. Compromise. It's just that simple. If you compromise, you'll get a crowd. Or if you want to do it the Bible way, you might. There are some churches that God has blessed that stand true to the Word of God today, but there's not very many. Well, here's four teenagers. Had more intestinal fortitude to stand up for God than many of the adults were in their day and age. Well, go on down through this book, and we see the king had some dreams. And why did he have these dreams? Well, the Bible says that the king is in the hand of God, and the reason that he had these dreams and was frustrated about them was so we could have the book of Daniel. And looking into the book of Daniel, I don't think there's any other book that can give us an understanding of what is happening in the end times like this book. Well, Daniel also had some friends, as we mentioned. They were faithful friends. And, oh, I'd just like to park here and preach about 12 messages on the subject of friends. Pick friends who are sticking with the Bible. And these faithful friends of his, they were also, well, they ended up getting in the fire. As I said earlier, they were exalted on earth. They would have been exalted to heaven if they died. Either way, it was a great day for them. And what a tremendous story that is. We'll look at it when we get a little further on in this series. Then we'll look at Nebuchadnezzar's pride Later on, he has a dream about a tree, and he calls Daniel, and he says, "What does that mean?" Oh, Daniel, if you're going to tell him what that really means, you might get your head chopped off. But in spite of that, he stuck with what was right. He told them what was right. He told them what he needed to do. He needed to humble himself, and he didn't listen. And so God struck him down. He acted like an animal for 7 years, eating grass. At the end of that, he was humbled, and he was restored. Then we'll look at Belshazzar's pride. He rejected that handwriting on the wall. Belshazzar was Nebuchadnezzar's son. He rejected the handwriting on the wall, and at the end of that story, he's dead too. Then we'll look at Daniel in the den of lions. You always hear about Daniel in the lion's den. That's not what the Bible says. Daniel was not in the lion's den. He was in the den of lions. A lion's den could be one lion. This was a bunch of lions. And he had his faith tested. And once again, faith is what Daniel believed and who Daniel trusted. And once again, either way, he's going to be exalted either on earth or he'll be exalted to heaven. In this case, once again, he was exalted on earth. Well, we have Daniel's dreams now as we get into the middle of the chapter of the book. The first six chapters are talking about the man and his message, and the last three chapters focuses on the message itself rather than on the man. And Daniel has a dream, and he dreams about these beasts that are representing a series of anti-Bible, anti-God kingdoms that would take us right down to the age in which we are living today. And then we have Daniel's prayer. He said, "Oh Lord, how long? How long?" Now, he's getting at the end of the 70 years. Daniel knew from all the preaching of Jeremiah that this bondage would last for 70 years. But Israel refused to repent, and God said, "No, it's not going to be 70 years. It's going to be 7 times 70, which we'll see as we go through this study, brings us right down in line with the book of Revelation and what is going on in these last days. And so Daniel has his third vision, and it's a vision about the end time nations and their complete destruction. And so as we go through this series, I hope you'll have your Bible ready and we'll look at it. We're going to take it through verse by verse. And what is God's purpose for the book of Daniel? I think we can sum it up this way. Number one, it is a book of hope for sincere believers. You can look here and see what's going on today and not get all frustrated. I mean, it's discouraging when we see what's going on today. It's disheartening when people won't go the way of the Lord, like it was for Jeremiah, like it was for Noah. Nothing has changed. But God has always had a remnant, and this book is a book of hope for that remnant, for those sincere believers. Not only that, it's a book of warning. The Bible says these things happened unto them and are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Whether it's warnings for the believers who are not sincere, like the Corinthians, or whether it's a warning for those who are sincere, it's a warning. These things happened unto them and are written for our admonition. Well, as we go through and look at the man, that is Daniel, and the men that he had with him, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as we look at the message, there's some great hope here, and we need to just take hope in the message of this song day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here.
Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here, trusting in my Father's wise bestowment. I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day, the Lord himself is near me, with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares, he fain would bear and cheer. with a charge that on himself he laid. As your days, your strength shall be in measure. This the